We've got this pressure that, you know, you're in charge of molding this little human, and you fail a lot. you know, oh, I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that.
Once in a while, I kind of feel bad about it, because that is when my patience is not as great.
It's humbling. It's humbling. I want to, hey, I got it all together. No. No, I do not. I every day feel like a failure at something.
Even the smallest decisions can have a big impact on your kids, and I put a lot of pressure on myself.
I didn't support them enough, or I didn't play with them enough. I wasn't a good mom today. I probably think that at least once a day.
I struggle with wondering, am I enough?
Are we doing this the right way? I don't have enough time to work, make dinner, clean up, do the laundry, clean the house, and spend time with them. So I worry that I don't have enough time.
I want to be patient and loving and have all the right answers and know when to talk and when not to talk, because now we have teenagers. And so that has been really challenging for me.
Just kind of taking my stress and my anger out on them when I shouldn't have. Those are the type of moments that I'm just like, I missed the mark on that one.
We make like sometimes like arts and crafts, like with like paper. I make cool things out of like cardboard.
That she always makes time with me.
We sometimes just sit in the sun and read
on fun adventures, play games.
She's kind, she's friendly.
She always really like explains things in a patient way.
My mom's a nice mom. I like to play with her.
My mom is kind, lovable.
My mom makes me happy.
Like, let's say I was in a bad mood because of a certain thing, and she comes into my room and talks to me about it, and it makes me feel a whole lot better.
My heart feels happy when I think about my mom.
My heart feels like it is riding a Ferris wheel at Dutch Village.
I like it that my mom makes jewelry with me.
She looks pretty.
When I talk to her, it makes me feel better if something went wrong that day.
Mom, you are the best mom ever, and I love you.
Oh, sweet girl.
She has the biggest heart and the sweetest voice.
I feel about my mom that she's so great.
She's always having a good heart and taking care of us well.
I just love her so much, and every day I pray about her and care about her.
How I feel about her is she's really nice and she takes care of me, and she makes me smile.
I mean, they know that I'm not perfect, but they only see the good.
She's a great mom. She's more than a twinkling star. I love her.
They are what makes this job, this calling, this life just so fantastic. And I love it.
It's just a good reminder that I can be a little too hard on myself, and that that kids just love their moms, and they love them.
That was wonderful. Who told us to bring tissues to church this morning? We were laughing, we were crying. Amazing. Let me just move this a little bit. Well, good morning, everyone, and again, happy Mother's Day to all you beautiful moms out there. And today we truly celebrate you, and we thank you for all that you do each and every day. And thank you for the impact that you have on so many people's lives. I want to welcome you as well if you are joining us online. We're so glad that you're with us. And hey, I don't think it's too late to have breakfast in bed, so hopefully many of you will be enjoying breakfast in bed made by your children as you are joining in for this message. So thank you for joining us. And hey, probably most of you don't know this, so you would have learned something this morning. But Germany actually has Mother's Day today as well. Not every country has the same day, but Germany happens to have the same day. That's where I'm from. So, liebe Mama, ich wünsche dir alles, alles Gute zum Muttertag. Ich danke dir von ganzem Herzen für alles, was du für mich tust. Ich habe dich lieb. Ich wünsche dir einen ganz schönen Tag und wir sprechen heute Nachmittag. Wait a minute, you're gonna think. All these words just meant Happy Mother's Day, then we are really glad that you're not speaking in German this morning. You are welcome. And you know, as much as yes, we're celebrating mothers today, this is not just a message for mothers or for women, but hopefully for everyone. I mean, how can it not be with a space theme going on all around me? And we've heard it already, just reminded us, it's our first point this morning, that mothers are out of this world and that women have a special superpower. I wonder what you think when you hear that. What comes to your mind when you hear that? Mothers are out of this world. Women have a superpower. What came to my mind when I thought about it was this whole idea of superwoman. In 2008, my family and I moved from Europe to America. We moved from Hamburg in Germany to Tampa, Florida. And we actually moved to a wealthier, affluent part of Tampa. When we lived in Hamburg, we were part of an international church. There were people there from over 50 different nationalities, nations, backgrounds. And everybody truly did life a little bit different, even in church. So everyone was very, very diverse and different. And then we moved to Tampa. And I met many, many superwomen. Have you ever met a superwoman? Superwoman. They looked beautiful. They looked like they just stepped out of a catalog. They had gorgeous homes, beautiful yards. Their children went to great schools or colleges. They were often high-achieving athletes. But you know, then, over time, I started to do life with some of these superwomen. And I actually started to see what went into this idea of being superwoman. What seemed very privileged to me initially seemed very easy. And so why don't we just look through a typical day in the life of superwoman? Let's say she has three children, maybe teenagers, and she works full-time because she can, 8 to 4. So she would get up early. She'd probably start her day exercising. Then she would wake up the children. She would make them breakfast while also make their lunches for school and probably already get started on dinner. She would walk the dog. She would pick up the house, and then she would take the kids to school, but she would be in the office at 8 o'clock, ready to start the day fresh. She would work all day, then she would pick up the kids from school, she would take them home, she would supervise homework. Then she would take them to all their sporting events, and now, like right now, it's spring season, which is very busy if you have teenagers, amen. And that also means not just practices, but probably games and meets, all different places, but at the same time. But because she is superwoman, she can do it. She can be in three different places at the same time and probably volunteers to do team dinners for all the teams. She can. At 7 o'clock, the entire family would be around the dinner table eating together, eating a healthy, homemade, nutritious dinner. And then off to evening activities. You get the point, right? Just thinking about it makes me tired. And let's be honest, some of those things, some of those needs, some of these demands are impossible to meet for just one person. What a minute ago looked very privileged and really nice on the outside is actually pretty exhausting if we're honest. But I think many of us live exactly like that. We're pretty exhausted and we're worn out, and yet somehow we're chasing superwoman or supermother status. Maybe living for that phrase. Don't know how she does it all. But hey, if that is not all enough pressure, I then discovered not only were there lots of superwomen, there were also Christian superwomen. Let's go through her day again. Keep everything already mentioned, but let's add a few things to her busy day. Christian Superwoman would get up super early because she'd have a quiet time. When she does the kids' lunches, she would put an encouraging note in it. Who does that? When she walks the dog, she'd probably be on the phone talking to somebody who really needed to hear from her. On the way to work, she would probably listen to a podcast or she would memorize some scripture. In her short lunch break, she would do her Bible study homework, and then there would be lots of evening activities. Now, you may think that I'm making fun of people who have busy lives, or that I'm being really, really sarcastic here. I'm not, because I've been there. In fact, I've been her. A few years back, I was on a trip to Germany on my own, was at an airport. And if you ask my kids whether you'd find me in an airport, it would be either the coffee shop or the bookstore. I love it when they come together, but doesn't often happen at an airport. But that particular day, I was in the bookstore, and I bought a book. I bought a book just because the title was just where I was at. The title of the book was The Worn Out Woman. The subtitle, When Your Life is Full and Your Spirit is Empty. I'm actually not recommending this book because I never read it. I don't think I had time to read it. But there was something about that that just struck me to just tell me that's actually where you are at. Everything seems to be going well. You are busy. You're doing a lot of things. All those plates are spinning. But on the inside, you're worn out and you have no margin to cultivate that inner person. Just a few weeks back, we were on a staff retreat, and one of our pastors did a devotional one night, and he used a phrase that really hit me. He used that phrase, what would I tell my younger me? And that made me think, what would I tell my younger me, the one that was chasing superwoman or supermother status, while actually was so exhausted on the inside? I would tell her to stop it. Stop it. Don't live that way anymore. Don't live just for rules and regulations, expectations, but not having any margin to cultivate that inner person on the inside. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 10 and read a few verses starting at verse 38. Luke chapter 10, starting from verse 38. It'll be on the screen as well. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. But few things are needed, or only indeed one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Now, this text does not tell us that we should just sit around and do nothing. This text does not tell us that tasks or activities don't matter. In fact, it would be wrong and it would be a waste of our time if we just sat around and did nothing. And tasks do matter. In fact, in this very story, we know that Jesus went ahead to eat the meal that somebody had to prepare for him. So there's nothing wrong with hard work or with doing things. So why is Jesus actually saying what he's saying? I believe that this passage reminds me, that God sees our heart, that he sees our motives, that he sees that why behind the what. And you know, in my case, in those early years when I was moved to chase superwoman status, I ultimately often did it to earn praise and recognition. I've learned since then that some of it came actually from a deep insecurity that needed that approval and that achievement in order to feel good about myself. See, I did not think that the person that God created me to be, which is a person that has strengths and weaknesses, not all strengths and not all weaknesses, that was enough, that God created me that way, that I could rest in that as a woman, as a mother, and simply as a human being. What about you? So when I think about the woman that God chose, Of course, I think of Mary. Here's another Mary. And we meet her in Luke chapter 1. If you're still in Luke chapter 10, just turn back to Luke chapter 1. So this is a different Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're going to have the scripture on the screen, but we're not going to read it all. I'm just going to tell you what happened. And the first thing that strikes me with Mary is that we don't read anything of what she'd done, what she'd achieved. I don't think God cared greatly about that. He cared way more who she was on the inside. So Mary is a teenage girl, most likely engaged to Joseph, and here the angel meets her. And he says to her, "You are chosen, you're favored. God has chosen you to be the mother of the Messiah." And then he goes on to tell a little bit about Jesus and who he was going to be and why he came. You know, it strikes me that her responses are not perfect responses. She wonders, she questions, how can this be? I'm not even married. She's actually scared. We know this because the angel says to her, "Don't be afraid." Sounds to me like meeting an angel is a pretty scary thing. But then her response, because of who she is on the inside, is a response of faith, of trust, of surrender to God's will, and of humility. She says, "I'm the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." So young Mary, she is greatly troubled. She has questions. She's even scared. But she responds with faith, with trust, with surrender, and with humility. So to be a woman like Mary means we want to be a woman of faithful integrity. In that same chapter, in Luke chapter 1, we read of a very similar encounter with an angel. And this is the encounter that Zechariah had, who is Elizabeth's husband. Now, in contrast to Mary, he actually was someone. He was a priest. He was educated. He should have known better. But here he also is met by an angel, very similar in a lot of ways to the encounter that Mary had. He wonders, he's scared of the angel, but then his main response is one of doubt. So to follow the example of Mary really challenges us to cultivate our inner person. I believe Mary would not have been top pick by today's standard. I hate to say that, but I actually don't think she would have been top pick by today's Christian standard. She was a woman who was all about growing in her faith, in her relationship with God, and who was a person who was not about her own achievements and not about seeking praise from anyone. So as women, as mothers, we can and we should have an impact on the lives of the people around us. We may not be superwomen. We don't have to be superwomen, praise God. But we do have a supernatural impact on the lives of those around us. But in order to do that, we do have to do some things a little bit different. So what has that meant for me? What is having an impact on the lives of the people around me meant for me? First of all, take off the cap. Don't need to wear that anymore. That is not a part of it. There's a lot of things that have changed in my life because of that. There are a lot of things that I don't do anymore. I don't live anymore ruled by a bunch of rules and regulations, expectations from others or from myself. But I really seek to be guided by the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit. He guides us personally, individually, each and every day, and I long for that, and I seek that each and every day. There are also things that I don't do anymore in my life. There are things my family don't do anymore. We actually have a lot less now, a lot less stuff, which has actually given us a lot more. More time, more margin, less pressure. I've also learned to say no to a lot of things. Which means when I say yes to other things, it's a full yes, it's a healthy yes, it's a joyful yes, and not an exhausted yes. But I think more important than what I do or don't do really is that I've learned that what I do does not define me, what other people say does not define me, even what I expect doesn't define me. My identity is firm, secure, and set on what God says about me And I think that's really good news, not just for me, not just for women, not just for mothers, but truly for anyone. Wouldn't you agree? And that leads us to our second point, which is this: mothering can take different forms. So if we choose to do life differently, if we don't do it just a certain way, maybe we can also agree that mothering can take different forms. Probably like me, you have friends in your life who will not come to church on a day like Mother's Day. It's just too painful for them. It brings up a lot of unfulfilled dreams that they have. Maybe a dream of being married, having family, having children, being a mom. Or maybe it brings back the pain of having lost a mom. I'm sure there are people here or watching online, but this is just, it brings it to life. Or probably worse than all of this, there's the pain of having a broken relationship with a mom that we really need and want in our lives. So many different experiences, and Mother's Day can bring it all to the surface, doesn't it? I want you to cast your eyes to the screen and hear from Kate, who's sharing her red chair story with us. Cast your eyes to the screen.
In 2008, my husband and I were expecting our first baby. Things were going smoothly until I was about almost 22 weeks. I went into premature labor, and our son was born extremely premature, and he weighed less than a pound, and he passed away shortly after birth. We left the hospital that next day with empty arms and a lot of questions. I didn't have as much time to grieve that as I would have liked, but I just had to keep going forward and making it to the next day. 4 weeks after that, I was back in the hospital in kidney failure. So I had to transition mentally to fighting for every day. I had to start dialysis treatments immediately to stay alive. And after 7 months of that, I received a kidney transplant from my sister. After my transplant, my doctor told me that because of the anti-rejection meds that I would be on for the rest of my life, that a pregnancy would not be safe for me or the baby. That was really hard to hear, but we ultimately felt God open our hearts towards adoption. My oldest is 12. We adopted him domestically. My second born is 10. We also adopted him domestically. I also felt bittersweet about that process. It was hard for me. I felt some guilt over the fact that their birth parents were also leaving the hospital without their babies, and I could really relate to that, and that felt really hard and heavy. When the boys were around 4 and 2, my doctor said that there was an alternative medication I could switch to that was safe for pregnancy and that he would support us if we decided to give that a try. So we prayed about it a lot. We knew it would be really risky and complicated, but we felt that God opened that door for us for a reason, and we decided to trust him through that. So in December of 2013, I gave birth to a little baby girl who's completed our family. I am very grateful for the unique way that God has knit our family together. It's not what I had planned, but it's immeasurably more than I could have asked or imagined. They're all three so special to us, and I'm just so grateful for them. One of my biggest questions was why. Why I had to go through this, and why this happened, and why me? And I still sometimes struggle with that question. Another thing that I question and worry about, I can get anxious and fearful of the future, and you know the Bible tells us that we will have hardships and struggles, and I wonder what else will happen. It's inevitable that there will be other hard times in my life, but again, I can see that God was faithful through all those times, and I know that he always has been and always will restore what's been broken. My name is Katie, and this is how God is moving in my life.
Thank you, Katie, so much for sharing your story with us. Life is not predictable, just like she said, is it? If you were here on Good Friday, you would have heard in the message that often suffering and joy, life and death, can actually come together. It's not always one or the other. Sometimes they come together. And Kate, I don't know how you've gone through all the things that you've gone through, all the pain, all the loss, the diagnosis, the disappointment of broken, unfulfilled dreams. But then the joy of adoption, of children being added to your family. But I love how she shares, I don't know if you picked up on that, that even in their joy of God bringing the children in their home, there was a sense that their joy was somebody else's loss. So joy and sorrow can come together. Thank you so much for sharing your story. And I was thinking actually about it. Katie, I just see a lot of Mary-like qualities in you, and so thank you. It's such a fitting retro story for us today. So like we said, mothering can have different forms, just like Katie shared with us. So they're biological moms, they're foster care moms, they're adoptive moms, they're also spiritual moms. My friend Melissa, she is one of those people that carries an unfulfilled dream of having family, of being married, of having her own children. But she didn't let that stop her from becoming a mom. So she's actually pursuing to become a foster mom as a single woman. And I love that. And I love how she challenges maybe many of us to do the same. So there's not just one way for using the superpower of influence through parenting. Of course, we all know that adoption also is an option. There are so many children in desperate need of an adoptive home, of a forever family. Once you start looking into it and your eyes are opened, it's quite amazing to see the need that's all around us, the prayers that children are praying for a forever family. The same is true for foster homes. There is such a need for foster homes, safe foster homes, or safe families. That's another option. And I wonder if some of those answers to the prayers could be right in this room, or some of you watching online. And as much as I know for sure from my own life that that is a calling from God, a very special calling, I do believe that sometimes this is holding some of us back. The idea of what it needs to look like to be that perfect foster parent, that perfect adoptive parent or adoptive family, maybe what kind of house you should have or how your own children behave, or whatever you're thinking, or your own marriage, or all of those things. Maybe you just have a standard that is not God's standard for your life, and it's holding you back. So let's just go back to Mary. I am convinced that if you would have asked her as a young child to describe, or as a teenager, to describe what she wanted her future to look like, it would have been nothing like what it ended up looking like. I don't think Mary would have said to us, I don't think Mary would have ever thought that she was going to be pregnant before she was married. Or if there was such a thing as a birth plan, it would probably not have entailed giving birth in a stable. What about going on to have other children from a different dad? That sounds shocking to you. That's the reality. Jesus' half-brothers grew up knowing that Jesus was that illegitimate child, that Joseph was not really his dad. It was the Holy Spirit. It was God. Sure, there was a lot of gossip going around in that family. And Mary had to carry and carry all of that pain and all of that all through her life. And of course, she would have never pictured that she would see her firstborn son dying in front of her eyes. Children are not supposed to die before their parents. But we also see Mary as someone who mothered everyone who entered her space, because mothering can take different forms. So we started out at the beginning of the gospel in Luke 1, but let's go towards the end of the gospel, and let's just look at John chapter 19 for a minute. There is the scene where Jesus is actually on the cross, he's dying. And as he's dying on the cross, he looks at John, the apostle John, the one he loves. I love how that's always added to it. And Mary, his mother, is right next to John. And Jesus says to John, "Here's your mother. Take her to be your mother." It's believed that Joseph would have died by then. And historians also think that John ended up taking Mary in to live with him. Of course, we know that John first was captive on Patmos, on the island of Patmos. That's where he wrote Revelation. But then it's said that he went on to live in Ephesus, and he took Mary in to live with him. So that calling, even from the cross, was answered. But I think there's more to this text, and we quickly or easily miss it. For all you widows out here or watching online, maybe you live with family and friends. Maybe today is very bittersweet. Do you think that your mothering days are over? Remember, mothering can take different forms, not just one way, not just this way. So let's look back at John 19, and let's read from verses 26 to 27. It'll be on the screen as well, because there's something that we often miss. There's something more to the story. So when Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here's your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. So who did Jesus address first? Someone say it. Mary, right? Not John. Don't really know why that is, but one implication could be that Jesus believed that Mary's mothering skills were still needed, but she was not done mothering. And of course, Jesus also knew, looking at John, what he was about to endure, that he was going to be captive, that he needed a mother then, but also in the future. So mothering can take different forms. On a Mother's Day, yes, we celebrate not just our mothers, but also the gift of mothering. If I was to ask you to raise your hand, if you've ever had a spiritual mother in your life, someone to nurture you, to invest in you, to mentor you, I think a lot of hands would go up in this place, and I'm so thankful for that. What a gift that is. I think if you think of your spiritual mother, it would not be this. It would not be the perfect person who has a perfect life with a nuclear perfect family. It's probably a person who has an authentic relationship with Christ, who always points you back to Christ, and a person who cares deeply for everyone that God brings into their space. There are so many broken relationships all around us, and with nuclear families breaking down, there's never been a greater need for many different forms of mothering than there are today. I think some of us have gotten stuck. There are disappointments, there are broken dreams, there are things that didn't happen. Maybe you didn't get married. Maybe you didn't have that other child. Maybe like Mary or like Kate, you lost a child. Maybe like Mary, you lost a spouse. You know, remember, Mary was actually told that a sword was going to pierce her soul. That was a reference to the fact that she was going to see her son die. But yet, in the greatest pain, Mary did not allow the pain of what was to stop her from mothering. And I just want to say that to all of us as well. Don't let what was not, what is not, and what will never be stop you from mothering those who need you right now. So what would I tell my younger me? I would remind her that there are different forms of mothering, not just the way she thought it was going to be when she got married and when they were starting to have a family. I would tell her that God had so much more for her and for her family than what she thought before they adopted Alma Rose and Jaden. What a gift they've been to our home, to our family. Life is so much better because of them. I would also tell her that she could never be too old to mother someone else, to be a spiritual mother. And then she really needed to hear this. I would tell her that her own pain from many different things in life would not disqualify her to be a spiritual mother to someone else. In fact, that's a mystery that I will probably only understand in heaven, that God somehow in his mercy will use our greatest pain to help others who need that help in time of need. Having moved to Holland 8 years ago, I so appreciate the family community that there is in this place. Wouldn't you agree? The children grow up with grandparents, with cousins, with uncles, with aunts, that there are many family gatherings. That's really unusual, and not many places have that. It's a really, really good thing. But I think there's also a challenge with it. There's a flip side with it too. Many family units, they're just busy with that. It's enough. They don't see the need to open up their family circle for others, whether that's a student, whether that's somebody who needs it, maybe a widow. And my dream is that over time we would see a change in that, that over time more families would open up their homes for others and let them in and be spiritual parents to them. As a church, we have a dream too, and we are very intentional to be that kind of family too, for people who really need to belong and want to belong, and we love to be that place of belonging. In conclusion, we've been saying it all morning long, women truly have a superpower. Praise God, we don't have to be superwomen. We can be who we are, who God made us to be, with strengths and weaknesses, but each one of us is called to make a difference. Let's take that one step further and to say that that does not just apply for women, for mothers, but truly for everyone. Old, young, male, female, married, single, we all called to make a difference in this world. We live once. It's a privilege, but it's also a responsibility to make time count. You know, everything we do has an effect on other people. We know that about the bad, but it's also true about the good. Most of you know that I work in recovery ministry, and I see it so often when somebody comes into recovery to deal with an addiction, with a compulsive behaviors, with a hurt, hang-up, habit, they initially think it's just their issue, it's just for them. But then they realize, oh no, what they're struggling with affects everyone around them, their spouses, their children, their co-workers, everyone's affected by it. But what's true for that is also true for the good things in life. And that affects other people, the joy that we share, the faith that we share, the hope that we share. Just like Kate shared at the end of her red share, that she can trust God no matter what the future throws away. That gives somebody else hope when they hear that. That gives me hope. And I just want to share something that hit me and just showed me how little things can make a big difference. A few months back, I was on a Monday night, I was here at Celebrate Recovery, and I was cleaning up, it was late, and the facility person came in to lock up. And as I saw him, I greeted him, and he looked at me and he said, "Oh, it's so good to see you smile. You're usually so serious." Ouch. You know, I think there was some truth in that. I am an introvert, I'm also German. And I'm sometimes a little bit lost in my own thoughts and in my own head, and it doesn't come as natural to smile, even though there is a lot of joy in me. But you know, that encounter made me just, it was like a wake-up call for me to think, that's a little thing that I can do. I can be intentional to smile at people that I meet, that I want to smile at. And something as little as that can make a big impact. And that's true for you and for your life as well. And as the team comes up, I just want to leave one scripture with us all, which is one of my favorite scriptures. It's from Ephesians 2, and it's verse 10. And it tells us here that we are God's masterpiece. That means you are God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. I love this verse. I love the truth in it that none of us have to be frantically looking for good things to do or for the purposes that God or the calling that God has for our lives. He has planned it for us. And again, he wants to lead us through his sweet Holy Spirit into those places and to those people. God wants us to live life of purpose, influence, and meaning, each one of us. Male, female, mothers, married, single, each one of us. So as we celebrate mothers today, the gift of mothering, let's thank them for the influence that they have on us. But let's also step into opportunities and new relationships that God may have for us. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this beautiful day. And Lord, yesterday, as it was Again, another beautiful day with sunshine and with flowers, tulips out, and trees blossoming. It was such a reminder for me of just who you are, how great you are, what a great God you are. You are the creator. But Lord, even though you are the creator, you know each one of us by name. You know everything about us. And even better, you love us all with an everlasting love. So Father, today we thank you for the gift of mothers and also for the gift of mothering. And Lord, I want to pray for everyone in this room or watching online for who today is a great day, is a day of celebration, a day where they get to spend the day with family, with friends, with loved ones, enjoying the goodness of God, enjoying what you have given to them. And I pray for a blessing on their families, that from generation to generation, you would bless them, you would keep them, you would keep them grounded on you. But Lord, we also recognize that today is not a happy day for everyone. This is a difficult day for many people. Maybe people carry unfulfilled dreams of being married, of having family. But Lord, it could also be a day where somebody has lost a loved one or grieves a relationship that is not what they want it to be. So Father, would you just comfort them? Would you be close to them? Would they just know that you love them, that you know them, and that you have more for them, just like you did for Mary? And I thank you so much for her example. What a great example she is to each one of us. And Lord, I do pray too that hope would rise in this place. For those of us who feel that we're done with, that we have no more use, I pray, Father, that hope would rise in this place, that we would know that you have more for us, that you can use us just the way we are, if we would only open ourselves to what you have for us. And Lord, I also want to pray for those in this room or watching online who have stepped into the privilege of adoption, of foster care, of being a safe family home, or also being spiritual mothers or spiritual parents to so many people. I thank you for them, and I pray for your anointing and your blessing on them. I pray for strength, I pray for wisdom, and I pray that today that they would know that what they do matters and makes a difference. So, Father, wherever you find us, we pray again once more for your favor and for your blessing on us. We love you, Lord. And we finish with the words of the psalmist in Psalm 16, verse 5, which says, Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future. We thank you for that, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.